It's time for our weekly segment with Mike Fisher of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, presented by Balcones and Centex Rehabilitation.
All right, here we go. On this Friday from Coppers Cove at Bulldog Stadium tonight, we have 7 o'clock pregame, games across the board. We'll have that for you in a moment. We're here in Coppers Cove for Coppers Cove in Midway in District 12-6A. Mike Fisher at Fish Sports. Mike Fisher, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, CowboysSI.com, DallasBasketball.com, and that now becomes relevant again, not that it wasn't. And Mike joins us now on the show. Mike, are they starting to get all these nicks and bumps, bruises and aches that are starting to kind of compound themselves and dealing with injuries that could affect how they play?
Well, I think if you look at the Jets and they're missing their tight end Herndon this weekend, and they're missing their great linebacker Mosley this weekend, so I think the injury thing is probably a lame excuse. But yeah, the Cowboys are trying to get that ironed out. I think Tyron Smith's going to play on Sunday and start at left tackle. I don't think Lyle Collins is going to play at right tackle, so Cam Fleming will switch over there. I think Leighton Vander Esch, after 2 days of being sick, smoking with vertigo, is Leighton Vander Esch's illness. How about that?
Wow. Yeah, they get these weird ones, don't they? They get the, yeah.
And I've tried to tell, I've been on the Fan, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas 3 times today. I've tried to make some Vertigo, Jimmy Stewart, Kim Novak, Alfred Hitchcock joke, and nobody gets it.
I get it,
Hitchcock,
Mike.
Vertigo.
I'm with you.
Is anybody with me, Smokey? Anybody at all?
Hey, Fish, I have a Vertigo. Smokey's probably not. He's seen 11 movies in his whole life, but I have a Vertigo poster in my house.
Okay. Then listen, just because, I mean, the movie must be from what, 1960 or something?
I think it's 64, but yeah.
But that doesn't mean we have to be unaware of it. This is something that's so long ago. Come on, people, class it up a little bit. So, vertical for Lyle Collins, and then maybe him and Jalen Smith need to get off blocks better than they did in the last game, or maybe in the last 2 games. And yeah, health-wise, Randall Cobb is battling that back thing. I bet you he's fine. We'll see. And then Amari Cooper. Mark Cooper's beat up every Wednesday, every Thursday, and every Friday, and every Sunday goes out and roasts the opponents. The Jets' cornerbacks give up an average of 72% completions. 72%! So a chance for Amari Cooper to have another field day in New York.
Fish, do you think that we'll see maybe more Zeke Elliott early this week to get that kind of rhythm back after 2 weeks? Well, 1 week of not being able to do it because they were behind by 28, and then another week where they got stuffed.
You know, to the Jets' credit, they actually do an okay job against running backs, but the one thing that they have allowed in the last couple weeks, opposing running backs in the last 2 weeks against the Jets, 27 carries a game. And so game script dictates that, and the score dictates that. I get ahead of the Jets, and then I grind it out. But if Zeke Elliott gets 27 carries, yeah, your prediction is going to end up true. If you give Zeke 27 carries, he's going to get 100 yards rushing, obviously, I think, and the Cowboys are going to win. So I think that would be a telltale sign against a Jets team that, again, game script, they're going to be behind at some point in this game. Adam Gase, dating back to partly Dolphins head coach and now partly Jets head coach, his last 7 games, they've lost them all by like an average score of 30-10. So there's no reason to predict that this is going to be much different.
Mike, you mentioned Vander Esch and what he's dealing with, and obviously it seemed like he constantly, even though he was recorded, or at least he was given credit for 9 tackles, it just seemed like he was out of whack, and I don't know if that was because of what he started to deal with, but it Aaron Jones popped in and out, over and over and over again. Vander Esch seemed to take the wrong type of angle on the edge. Was he just having a bad night?
Yeah, and I'm willing to speculate because it's fair to him. Did he play poorly because he was getting sick then? Because your point about how many tackles is correct. He will tell you he played poorly, and he will be right. They did not get off blocks. They had real problems at linebacker. They had real problems stopping the run. Although I still think against Green Bay, don't you guys think Aaron Jones got a million-yard rushing. But wasn't that really because of Aaron Rodgers? If you're playing linebacker against the Green Bay Packers, which Aaron is causing which Aaron to succeed? The Jets this week, I don't know if you're aware of this, fellas, the Jets don't have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
No, they do not. They have Sam Darnold, who's back, and he's had to deal with his own issues. Now, I understand when you've lost two in a row, you surely can't have a trap game, but with Philadelphia coming up next, has this team been focused and locked in and more than just talk this week at the Star?
Okay, I think the trap game conversation is a really interesting one. What defines a trap game? How does it happen? Well, you have to be really full of yourself. How can the Cowboys, having lost two straight, be full of yourself? You would have to not be able to see the trap around the corner or because it's hidden in the grass. Well, this is a nationally televised game, late afternoon at New York. I don't know how you could, you know, sleep through it. So all those things that make a trap game, and I know this subject's going to come up, and so I agree with you that it's an issue worth discussing, but the Cowboys have no business sleeping through this. They have no business making excuses through this. They have no business being surprised by what's going to hit them. So what a disappointment in Cowboy character it would be if we discovered that, yes, indeed, they lost this game or even played poorly because it was a trap game. Not only should they not lose, they should not play poorly.
Fish, they've played, but this is a team that's very tight in the locker room, that's in lockstep with their head coach. So while I'm sure that most fans, and it didn't look good the last, I mean, the Saints game was a tough game. I mean, that was just kind of expected. They lost that game. It was 12-10. Okay, those games are going to go like that. The Packers game, they looked legitimately bad for a big chunk of it. But this is not a team that can just easily just throw the baby out with the bathwater. They're too good to do that, right?
Well, I agree, first of all, with your evaluation of the locker room. It really is a good locker room. By the way, your audience should know that one of the reasons you can say that is because you're in the locker room, and good for you. Amari Cooper had the opportunity to say, you know, that ball that bounced off my hands and shoulder was kind of behind me, you know, and he passed on that. He said, nope, should have caught it. And not only that, Amari Cooper said that the interception on the ball thrown to Randall Cobb, he says, that was my fault too. And we're like, what are you talking about? It has nothing to do with you. He says, yeah, I should have run my routes a little bit deeper. And what's he talking about? A foot deeper, a yard deeper, an inch deeper? What are you talking about? I should have run my route a little deeper to clear out more room so Cobb wouldn't have two defenders on him. I think that's very typical of the way this locker room thinks and talks. And I think it's really important. It's really important as to the character of this bunch. Hold on a second. Right there.
Okay, did you work over there?
Yep, it's Terrence. I'm trying to get my car from the Omni. I'm at the OU Texas goof around downtown, so I'm trying to get my car.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, good luck with that. Don't get arrested, Mike.
Listen, don't think that wasn't great radio, what I just did.
No, it was Marconi like. It was, I've used that word twice in the last couple of weeks. Fish.
Yeah. Right now.
Yeah. All right, thank you. All right, yeah. I got my car. All your worries are over.
All right, good. All right, now I want to take us off on a different tangent because I saw you posted a film review. I am not a much of a film goer. There are some films that are movies that I'll go see. Paul's a film aficionado. I am not. The Joker has been released. You watched it and you read a pretty telling, very insightful review of the movie.
Well, that's really nice of you. You know, I thought about putting it on one of my million websites. I talked to the people at Sports Illustrated and they read it and they thought they agreed with you. They thought this was really good, but we just don't know what to do with it. So I put it on Facebook. So if you're a Facebook guy and you want to go dig into this, you can go to Fish Sports on Facebook. But Joker, and it's almost like this is a warning. Don't bring your kids to Joker. It's not a comic book movie. It obviously references Batman, and obviously it's tied into that all that mythology and all that history and stuff. But, hey, remember the movie Taxi Driver?
Yeah.
This is it's Taxi Driver. This movie's Taxi Driver. It's deeply disturbing. It's about mental health. The same way Taxi Driver was about soldiers, in a way, it was about soldiers coming back from the war, right? I mean, wasn't he post-traumatic stress? I think he was, Robert De Niro. This movie is about mental health. And this movie is about how we need to have a deeper understanding for what makes mentally ill people mentally ill. And that's the real theme here. And it's extremely powerful. And it's going to win Academy Awards or be nominated for them, certainly. Even though on the surface you think it's a comic book movie, it's a deeply disturbing, deeply affecting movie about mental health and how we in America mishandle it. We mishandle health care. We mishandle acceptance of people who are different. We make fun of people who are different because we're scared of it. And this movie's trying to tell us that, unfortunately, what's going to happen is somebody who's mentally ill is going to watch this movie and paint his face and go shoot something. And then we're going to blame it on the movie. When, in fact, somebody who goes and shoots something is mentally ill, regardless of whether they watched a video game or watched a movie or read a book. The mentally ill people have been around for hundreds of thousands of years, and they've been shooting at people or punching people or yelling at people, regardless of what the impetus was. The movie is not going to be the impetus towards negativity, I hope. The movie should be an impetus towards understanding and compassion.
Mike, that's an excellent look at it. I've not seen it yet. I've read just about everything I can see, you know, I can about it because I'm very curious. I'm a huge movie person. I'm a huge comic book person. I'm a huge Batman person. So I'm going to make some time to go see it this weekend because of all the things you said and because it is just so different in the way that you take a character and you kind of focus on what made him the character when that's not really ever been the focus of the Joker. It's always just been like, how can he get after Batman?
Yeah, and again, if you're not a Batman fan or a comic book fan, understand what I'm saying here. You could make this movie without Batman. This movie is about a mentally ill, troubled, beleaguered young man or whatever in 1980 New York. Forget Gotham. This is New York. Smokey, you're old enough to remember. New York in the 1980s was a dumpster fire. Remember? They didn't pick up the trash. They had rats problems. Times Square was dangerous. We get the opportunity to go to New York once a year, this year twice with the Cowboys. Times Square and Manhattan, all that. It's Central Park. It's wonderful now. In 1980, it was a frightening place to exist. And this movie reflects on a frightening place, both geographically and a place psychologically.
Yeah. Well, Fish, that's great stuff. I can't wait to see it. Have fun in New York this weekend and enjoy the game. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, boys.
All right, it's Mike Fisher, 105.3 The Fan in.